Mini episode 637 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris, and it is our tremendous privilege to be able to welcome one of our greatest guests back to the show today. It is always a pleasure when you're able to speak with somebody affiliated with any kind of media or broadcast entity who, over a period of time through their service with that entity, really kind of comes to be synonymous with them. We were fortunate enough to do that recently here. We were able to have Bob Barker back on for his sixth appearance. I mean, there's a guy that, when you thought of CBS for a long time, was pretty much him, Walter Cronkite. I think you could say the same thing about Turner Sports and Ernie Johnson. It's a tremendous privilege to be able to have him back on the program here. We had him on for FDH Lounge mini episode number 100 back in the spring of 2012, back when it was a little bit earlier in the days of the Turner Sports CBS connection, that nexus for doing March Madness. So we're certainly going to catch up with him about that. Going to talk a little bit of hoops with a gentleman who, again, we are very privileged to have back on the show, Ernie Johnson. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you today?
Rick, it is great to be back with you. How are you?
Oh, doing fine, thanks. I have really been looking forward to getting a chance to talk to you and catch up on some of the great stories that you have been covering. And it's self-serving of me, perhaps, to first bring up my hometown Cleveland Cavs, but they've got to be right at the foremost part of everybody's lips heading into this season. And I'm wondering what your early impressions are. There were people that were thinking over the summer, you know, it could almost be like a 96-97 Bulls kind of a deal with the way that they kind of gelled, came together. Now a little bit of cold water on that perhaps with some of the injuries, but this is a team that, again, everybody knows the numbers that follows this, 33-3 after the big trades last year, 12-2 in the Eastern Conference playoffs, albeit without a couple of the big guns in there. So early on, what are your thoughts? Everybody seems to be sort of already kind of locking them into the NBA Finals, barring obviously a catastrophic injury or two, anything worse than last year. But short of that, they've kind of looked like a juggernaut to these biased eyes. What are you thinking so far?
Well, I'm among those who penciled them into at least the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the NBA Finals. I think when you look at the balance of power in the Eastern Conference, I think that they are the team. I mean, Chicago would like to be. You know, we have them on TNT tonight against Oklahoma City. It'd be very interesting to see how they play against a top drawer team from the West here. You know, the Derrick Rose situation is still kind of out there with, you know, coming back from the eye injury and seeing double and really struggling here early in the season. But you know, Cleveland's done this. They've gotten out to a good start without Kyrie Irving in the mix. Kevin Love looks good. You know, they signed Tristan Thompson for the big money, and people might look at that and say, "Wow, here's a guy who doesn't really score much, but he rebounds well, and he's a motor guy." But along the lines of Kansas City, to me, it's just a perfect fit for that team. And so a lot of times it's not, you know, you can look at stats and say, "Well, you're paying that money for that," and no, but he fills a vital role on that team, and so I think sometimes you can get carried away looking at statistics and just say, boy, he's a perfect fit for them and makes them go. So, no, Cleveland is to me the team in the Eastern Conference. And, Toronto's off to a good start, but I think back to what they did in the playoffs last year, and I don't know if they're ready, but Cleveland is without question ready in my mind.
Oh, sure, and that's a very good point about the salaries as well, and clearly that's something that, although it's painful for Dan Gilbert, it's something that he can shoulder as long as my dad and all the other denizens of the town keep making their way down to the Horseshoe Casino and filling his coffers. You know, the casino will go a long way, as will the merchandising. Ernie, you know the way the world works. But, yes. You know, if we figure the Cavs again, and I think it's perfectly logical to assume, all things being equal, no big injuries, make it to a minimum of the Eastern Conference Finals. In terms of who they might face, prior to the season, both myself and my good friend Ben Chu from that NBALotteryPick.com, we had both kind of circled Toronto as kind of an intriguing team to our eyes, and they've gotten off to a good start. What have been your thoughts about them? And obviously, it hurts the fact that they weren't able to make any kind of a run last year in the playoffs, and that they don't really have as much to build on. But if you're just looking at contenders to go after the Cavs, where do you think they rank among the other ones?
Yeah, well, I think Toronto does rank up there as a contender. You know, Lowry and DeRozan in the backcourt are good. Valanciunas got paid, and he's okay in the middle. But again, they don't have the horses in my mind to compete with a team like Cleveland. And you know, Chicago wants to be there too. You know, with Fred Hoiberg, it's really a different emphasis on that team now. You got so used to Tom Thibodeau and defense first and that kind of thing, and now you see like Fred Hoiberg's comments after their last loss to Charlotte, and talked about we didn't have any fight. It's almost like they, you know, they got out the lead and we didn't even want to come back on them. And so that was something you never heard out of a Chicago camp before. So they have to address that. And but talent-wise, I mean, Chicago, if all those guys play to their capabilities, and if Derrick Rose returns to some semblance of Derrick Rose, then yeah, that team can give you trouble. But that's going to be it's a more offensive-minded team this year than it is a defensive team. And you give up 130 to Charlotte the other night, and you got to shake your head and say, okay, where's Tibbs? You know, where's that emphasis on defense? And so I think that's one of the things Fred Hoiberg's going to have to deal with in trying to make this team a contender in the Eastern Conference. And he certainly has the pieces in Gasol and Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose. But he's moved Mirotić into the starting lineup. Noah's coming off the bench. So I don't know about Chicago right now, but I do know about Cleveland. And I can list a bunch of teams. Maybe Atlanta's in there, but I don't think Atlanta's done enough to take the next step. I don't think they've improved themselves enough to say, boy, that will never happen again if we play Cleveland. And I know Cleveland is still superior to Atlanta.
Absolutely. And as far as the Bulls go, yeah, that is troubling to hear Hoiberg say something like that. And he's going to be getting a lot more Jim Tom Sula jokes if that kind of stuff continues there. They really got to kind of pull themselves together and rally at this point in the season. In the Western Conference, again, Golden State and San Antonio, in a lot of people's minds, kind of came in as the co-favorites. Right now, it doesn't look like the Warriors have missed a beat with the start that they've gotten off to with the season. When you look at them versus Houston, OKC, the Clippers, obviously San Antonio as well, how do you see that shaping out? Because it does look at the present time, even if Golden State stays on this roll, that it's still going to be a bare-knuckle brawl to get out of the West with probably at least two brutal rounds to get through.
No, Rick, you're right. I mean, that's a much tougher call in the West than it is in the East for me. The league has a GM survey they do every offseason, and 18% of the GMs said that Golden State would repeat as the Western Conference champions. That's not a ringing endorsement, but I think it is kind of the fuel that Golden State needs. You know, they keep hearing things about the luck that's involved in winning a title and that kind of thing, and sometimes that's misconstrued as to, you know, nobody's saying that Golden State was lucky to win it, but there is luck involved in who you play and that kind of thing. And, you know, I work with a guy, Kenny Smith, who points out all the time, he says, yeah, we won back-to-back titles, but we didn't have to play Seattle, a team that absolutely gave us fits in the regular season. And so a lot of times it is who you're going to play and what the matchups are, but Golden State is right there. With that talent and the way they shoot the ball and the way Stephen Curry has gotten out of the gate, you know, so far, I mean, it's frightening to watch him play. And San Antonio improved themselves with Aldridge and David West, and they still have the best coach in the world in Greg Popovich, and so he finds a way to get the most out of his guys. And, you know, you look at a guy like David West who could have, you know, stayed in Indiana for a lot more money and wanted to go to San Antonio and play in that system. And so they have a way of continuing to attract the pieces that they need. The Clippers are intriguing to me, but with all the additions they made, and that was, you know, it was fun to watch last night against Golden State. I thought, you know, if somebody's going to stop Golden State's role here early, it might be the Clippers, but that didn't happen either. So I think those teams, and then Oklahoma City with Durant back, I mean, It's impossible to call at this point. It's as easy as it was to say Cleveland's in the Eastern Conference Finals and probably the NBA Finals. You can't call it right now in the West.
I agree, because there's any number of teams that might be capable of pulling what would be at least a mild upset on Golden State to advance another round or two. So you're right about that. It is going to be a brutal, brutal slog for whoever comes out of there. But
great
anticipation
TV.
On your part. Oh, yeah, it's going to be, yeah. You guys are going to be broadcasting some fun stuff, no question about it. And great anticipation on your part mentioning Kenny Smith, because that was going to be my next question was more about the job there in studio over a period of time with him, with Barkley, with some of the other guys in recent years, adding some more pieces like with Shaq and with Chris Webber. I mean, how much stuff comes easily in terms of building the chemistry that you guys have had for the show on TNT and also on NBA TV? How much of it has kind of come natural? How much of it comes from outside the studio kind of bonding? I think that's something people would be curious about, because that's one of the first things that comes to everybody's mind when they're talking about that show, just how great the flow is.
Well, you know, the thing that I've always said, you can never predict chemistry. It's mm-hmm. just impossible. And TV executives have been spending lifetimes trying to do that, trying to say, if I match up this guy with this guy and these two, you know, will that work? And it doesn't always work. And for us, it was one of those things. The first night we were ever on the air with me, Kenny, and Charles, I remember Charles coming out and we were ready to do a halftime, and he asked Kenny, he said, what are you going to say about that when we go there? And Kenny said, you'll find out. And that has been the way we've done the show ever since. I mean, it's always been a spontaneous, unrehearsed, nobody knows the questions going in. And that's what makes it work, because you get genuine reactions and you get they're just your gut reactions to what's going on. And the fact that we don't sit there and rehearse a segment before we do it, so people know what's going to happen, that just adds to it. And I think that's what resonates with the people at home, is that this is just like four guys sitting around in a living room talking hoop. Nobody's asking for permission to talk. Everybody's got an opinion. Sometimes whoever speaks loudest gets heard. And that's what's made it fun for all these years. So there was no way to predict it, but, you know, just through the years as we've gone on, we have this incredible comfort level with one another. And what makes it work, too, is that nobody's begging for airtime. Nobody's begging for FaceTime. Nobody wants to make the show about them. They just want to make the show better. And that's what's been really the key to the success of the show.
That's a great way to have it go, because nothing can possibly beat having spontaneity as far as when somebody says something and you're getting the honest reactions to it. There's nothing that beats that at all. And clearly, that's what comes across when we're all watching the show and when we're all watching you on there. But I want to go back also, too, in terms of the broadcasting to the college game as well. The last couple of years, you guys getting mixed in with CBS doing the joint March Madness broadcast. So I want to go back to something you said last time on the show, and I remember it very clearly because that's it's in our clip show from things that our more famous guests have said. You were talking very poignantly about the first time that One Shining Moment is going to play on Turner Sports. And it was a little further away when you said that in the spring of 2012, and we're getting a lot closer to that right now. So what are your thoughts as this moment is coming up? You've been thinking about this for years and the milestone that this is going to mark for everything you guys have done at Turner Sports. What are your thoughts as this moment gets closer and closer?
Well, we're all so thrilled about it, and this spring it's going to happen. I mean, we're going to have the finals on TBS, and that's just it's a feather in the cap for, you know, the guy who's led us for so many years, David Levy, who went after this property and this partnership with CBS and got it, and that was part of the deal was that in time that weekend's going to be on Turner, and I maintain that Saturday of the Final Four is one of the great days in sports in this country. There's unless you've ever experienced it, I know it's great to watch it on TV, and we appreciate, you know, and we encourage you to watch it on TV. But if you can be there, just that feeling of those four schools remaining, playing those two games on that Saturday, and the vibe that goes on in that building, I've never seen anything like it. and it's what sports is all about, and it's just been awesome. And this spring, when we get to have the whole shebang there at the end, is going to be certainly a career highlight for all of us.
No question about it. And myself and a lot of other people out there are going to be very happy for you and the guys on the crew who've spent all these years working towards this and building the Turner Sports broadcasting entity to the point of being able to host this. It's going to be a great moment for you guys, and it's going to be heartwarming for all of us watching this. I want to ask you also, too, something we talked about last time when you were on the program, and certainly with some of the profiles that have been done out there about you and your family. There is a tremendous amount of interest in how they're doing. I know that your son with his health issues over the time, and you spoke very movingly of that last time on the show here. But again, to anybody that knows and is a fan of Ernie Johnson, that's something they want to know about. How is your family doing right now, Ernie? Are you guys doing okay?
No, yeah, I appreciate you asking. Everybody's great. I've in the time since we've talked, I've added a grandchild to the mix, little Katie Ann Pruitt, who's 5 months old now. My daughter Maggie gave birth last May, and my wife and I were always excited about the prospect of that, and thought it was really going to be cool to have a grandchild. And I know that anybody out there who's been through this knows that it's 18 billion times better than you think it's going to be. And so that's been tremendous. And Michael, my son, who's 27, and you referenced his health issues, and he's doing well, and Rick, I'm blessed. I really am, and I tell people, look, I'm a husband and a father. That's who I am. I'm what sportscaster is, what I do. So as long as I can always keep those things in order, and realizing that what I do for a living isn't who I am, that I can keep the important things where they are, right at the top of the list, and enjoy work for what it is, and that's just a bunch of fun, no matter what sport I'm doing. So, no, family life is good, life is good, and man, it's again, just blessed beyond recognition.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so glad to hear that, and again, speaking for all the Ernie Johnson fans of the world. That is great to hear. And again, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for making time for us on a broadcast day, no less. You got the NBA on TNT coming up here. But again, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to catch up with you, sir. Looking forward to doing it again, hopefully sometime here. And have a great day. I really appreciate it.
Rick, it's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you, Ernie. I really appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.